So how then do you go from that, though, to pitching a story to a national show? Okay, you've got these interesting people, these kooky characters, you've got all this great tape, you know. These are not the Scott Carrier days. You can't show up at NPR in D.C. and be lucky enough to find Alex Chadwick there on a Sunday and he'll actually listen to your weird cassette tapes. Like, how do you go from having some interesting tape and interesting people to writing a pitch to a national show and getting them to run it? And then what's that experience like of, like, putting your aesthetic and your passion for sound and interview and character through the ringer of an editor who says, well, we got to turn this into news. We got to turn this gold here into news.
Right. The first thing is you have to figure out, like, so every editor of every show and every news, you know, organization, they have their sort of boxes that they have, like, this, how are we going to fit this into our box? Like, this is a, what we do. And a lot of times the stuff I have is just not going to fit in that box. And so it's a matter of, can I find a way to carve out some piece of, like, this story and attach it to something that will make sense? Like, sometimes it's a matter of doing that. But we're kind of in a golden age right now where you don't have to just get your stuff out through big news organizations. Like, how I made my living as a freelancer was I would do a story for the local station, but then I would sell it three more times. So I would sell it to Marketplace and do that version of it, and then I would sell it to 99% Invisible or some other podcast that had a budget. And there's a ton of these new shows popping up now that have budgets to pay freelancers. So,
is that what we have tape up to play?
Yeah.
So this is a story. Tell us a little bit about this story first. You sold it to a few different places, or you had it tape them and appear in a few places?
So I got an assignment. I pitched this, actually. I thought this was an interesting story. There's a down in Skid Row in Los Angeles, there's this new experimental building going up to house homeless people, and it's experimental in a couple different ways. It's architecturally experimental. It's a building that's built out of sort of these modules that they assemble together. But then they're also pre-selecting all the people that get to live in this building. They're pre-selecting based on how much they cost our economy. So if you cost us a ton of money as a homeless person, if you go to the emergency room a lot, if you go to jail a lot, then you are a priority to stay in this building, which goes against a lot of the current models, which is like, first, you got to get your act together. And then you can, then we'll give you housing. But this is a housing first model. And so they end up picking these people that have, I mean, by
highly
the nature
dysfunctional,
of them, are not trying in a lot of ways to fix their situation. So I thought that was an interesting story. So I was just down in Skid Row interviewing people, and then this happened.
What, can you just, for someone that, can you set the scene for me? Like, for someone that never been
the
here before?
The scene?
Where we explain it, and then what we're looking at, and where we are.
Can you guys hear it?
We're on the corner. No, that's too much information for your radio station. Way too much.
I'm gonna tell them. They're gonna know where we are. Like, that's a given. I'm just asking you to say it.
No, I'm not gonna say it.
Okay, well, we're at King Eddie's. What does it look like? Just say what you're looking at.
King Eddie's off the hook. There are people standing out in front. If you go inside, there's gonna be a bouncer. You know what I'm saying? He regulates pretty good. Then there are gonna be some people at the bar. You're gonna see a couple cute white girls. You're gonna see a couple cute black girls. You're gonna see a couple cute Hispanic girls. And you're gonna, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna get your swag on. You walk up in there, and they automatically, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna, all eyes are on you because you got that 100% swag going anyway, right? You sit down, you know, you order a drink. Right? You order the lady next to you a drink. You know what I'm saying? You know? You have a discussion. You take her out on the dance floor and you dance with her when nobody else is dancing in the whole bar. Right? And you make her feel like a lady for a little while. And she doesn't even have to be that attractive. And then they're all going to start like, wow, you know? This guy is just like, you know, what is with this guy? You know? And they're going to want to have that vibe. And they're going to gather around and they're going to start, you know, there's a science to it too. There's everything that you can imagine up here. Everything that you want, you know. You want a girl, you know what I'm saying? You want whatever you want. You want some bud, whatever you want, it's up in there. But it's, you know, it's just like any other place down here in Skid Row. That's what this place consists of. It's disease and drugs and alcohol and poverty. Yeah. An outside giant insane asylum. That's what it is. The devil's den. That's where you're at. Yeah. You got a lot of balls. You got a lot of balls.
All right.
So I came back with that tape, and it's like, that's not going to go on Marketplace, you know? But it's so good.
You know, you got all kinds of things you want in there.
Yeah.
two cute white girls. You got two. No.
I mean, my assignment was to do a 3.5-minute feature. I think that cut of tape is like over 2 minutes. So what I did was is I ended up using what I could in the Marketplace piece. I tried to make him into a character. I pulled I think I maybe got 20 seconds of Lil Daddy in that piece. But then what I ended up doing is what you just heard is actually the beginning of a 30-minute piece that's going to come out in a few days. It's a co-production that I produced with a couple new shows. One of them is called The Organist, which is a partnership between the McSweeney's magazine, The Believer, and KCRW, and the other one is For Love and Radio. And so I put together this half, and the piece was actually about, it's about Clyde Casey, who's also here tonight.
Hi, Casey.
But that's the beauty of sort of the time we're in now, is like there's all these other shows out there that you can, so it worked out. You know, I got to use a little bit of Lil Daddy for Marketplace, and then I got to do what I wanted to do for these other outlets. So.
Right. I think I heard in the Writer's Almanac recently someone who said that they use their novels to fund their poetry, which right. is in a way what you're doing. You know, you're using your work on Marketplace to take some of these other formats and make something from it.